1 Kings 21, verses 27 to 29. This is the second look at this passage. In the previous discourse, I tried to address the good effect that Elijah's preaching had upon Ahab. We see in these verses that Elijah's preaching did have an effect. He was convicted, Ahab. He was brought to a sense of his sin. He wasn't stiff-necked. He did attend upon the preaching. He did listen to it. It did penetrate him. And he was moved to give up food, to tear his clothes, to put on sackcloth and so on. There was a measure of repentance here, and God was merciful to him. God saw it, and God was kind to him, and withheld his hand of judgment in Ahab's day. So it all looked very good. But, and there is a very big but, and that's what this discourse is about. We need to be searched here. I need to be searched. This is a word for me. Search me, O God, and try my heart. Know me, know my innermost thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. Now, the important thing there is the heart. You see, the trouble with Ahab here is, when Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, he put on sackcloth, and he fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went around meekly. And all that is excellent, except it seems very clear that it was all outward. He was affected. He was moved. Maybe he even shed tears. Let's go as far as that. But we could say that they were crocodile tears. There is no heart mentioned here. This is the serious but. It seems to me that this man is in outwardly moved, but not inwardly. And this is a most searching and probing thought. I know that when I preach, people can be affected. They can like the word. They can enjoy the word. They can be solemnly affected by the word. But it's got to be the heart. And when I say people listening to me, I must include myself, first of all. I can read my Bible. I can be moved. I can sing hymns with hearty feeling, as it seems. But is there real feeling, or is it just sentiment? Is it outward? Ahab is a challenge here. He heard these words. He's moved. But it's all outward. It seems to me that he's concerned with the consequences of his sin. And here's another probing thought for me. The consequences, but not the sin itself. It's not his heart that he's concerned with. He's concerned with the effect, the judgment that God will have upon him. Not his sin and being right with God. Why do I say all that? Well, drop down to chapter 22, the next chapter. You'll find a series of discourses on 1 Kings 22 on sermon audio by me. I've preached on this some years ago. It's a very searching passage. Ahab shows in that passage that he's still as ungodly as ever. He's still given up to the false prophets. And he still can't abide the true prophets. This time it's Micah. Oh no, chapter 22 shows us there's been no real heart change. He's still a Baal man, an Ashtoreth man. He's still a false prophet man. And he still hates the true prophet. Oh yes, you can be moved outwardly. But your heart can be far removed from you, from God. Clothes? Food, but what of the heart? Buckets of tears will never atone. Could my tears forever flow? Or for sin could not atone. This is not repentance. What we need is a new heart, a new mind, a new will. And only God's Spirit can give us this. But it's not just new clothes. It's not just new outward. It's got to be new inward. There are two kinds of sorrow, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. There is a worldly sorrow, and there is a godly sorrow. Is Ahab guilty of worldly sorrow here in some form or another? I don't think it's godly sorrow. Repentance is a change of mind. Manasseh, you know, was truly converted, 2 Chronicles 33. There are many verses which address this. Ahab was not truly converted. Manasseh was. What verses? How about this one, Joel 2:13? God says, rend your hearts, not your garments. You see, it's very easy to let tears flow, to rend your garments, to fast, give up food, and walk about miserably and quietly, and so on. But God looks on the heart. You see, Mark 6:20, Herod loved to hear John the Baptist preach. He liked to hear him preach. Yes, he was moved by his preaching, but he was never converted. People can be moved by my preaching. Ezekiel was told, they'll come and listen to you, Ezekiel. You're like a pleasant singer. They like it, but they won't do what you say. And I say again, it's not just my hearers or my readers. It's me. 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 John 5:35, Jesus says, you enjoyed John for a while. You liked John, but you weren't moved by him, were you? Well, you may have been moved outwardly, but it didn't last, did it? For many, apparently, this is what happened. You see, Mark 7:6-7. This people draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And God wants the heart. God looks upon the heart. God wants heart repentance, mind repentance, will repentance, not just outward. Unbeliever, don't be content with conformity to Christianity. Don't be content with wearing the right clothes, carrying the right Bible, saying the right things. You must have a heart in tune with God, a heart renewed, a heart loving Christ, trusting Christ, repentant towards sin. Only God can give this. And believer, we must look in ourselves first and foremost for the heart. Something must be known and felt, said Joseph Hart, not mere notion floating in the head, in the mind. We must know and feel. Last Sunday I was preaching on Mary. Mary pondered these things in her heart. It was her heart that was affected. She treasured them up in her heart. I'm going to close with a hymn by Charles Wesley. Now the theology of this hymn is on a shaky foundation. The prayer is wonderful. But an unbeliever, in a sense, could not make this prayer, because it's only the man who has the Spirit will be moved to make such a prayer. So there is a kind of illogicality about the basis of this hymn. But I am going to read it, and I sing it, on the understanding that there is this kind of illogicality, but the spirit of it is excellent. Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always feels thy blood so freely shed for me. A heart resigned, submissive, meek, my great Redeemer's throne, where only Christ is heard to speak, where Jesus reigns alone. A humble, lowly, contrite heart, believing, true, and clean, which neither life nor death can part from him that dwells within. A heart in every thought renewed, and full of love divine, perfect and right and pure and good, a copy, Lord, of thine. Thy Spirit, gracious Lord, impart, come quickly from above, write thy new name upon my heart, thy new best name of love. That is it, my friend. Ahab was all outward. God make every one of us an inward spiritual being. You unbeliever, don't rest with outward conformity. Come to Christ, confess your sin, and call upon him and be saved. And believer, don't rest in outward appearance. Don't draw near with your lips and your garments and your Bible in your hand, and leave your heart far behind. And I say it to myself, oh, for a heart given up to Christ, full of Christ, with the name and love of Christ, the love of Christ written in my heart, the likeness there within. Oh, blessed be God, in the new covenant he gives a new heart. May that show in our lives, brothers and sisters. May we show from our hearts that we really know God in the Spirit and by the power of the Holy Spirit. May Christ be precious to us in the heart, I say.